So we're doing Sefer Amidot. We're in Shaar Hadat, the third chapter, and he's continuing with the idea that he began in the first chapter, that there are three main causes for human action. And one is nature, and he discussed nature in the first two chapters, and now we're moving on to habit, hergel. Ha-hergel. You guys have it? Page Nun Aleph in these editions. Eino koch shalit b'mezek ha-nivra b'tolada. It is not something that controls the mezeg ha-nivra b'tolada. The human condition that is created, which we'll explain in a minute, ואינו דבר הכרחי אל הנברא כמשפט הטבע. Nor is it something that must be a part of the human being, nor is it something mandatory like our nature, which we said our nature is mandatory. You can't live without the desire to eat and drink and sleep. You know, our basic needs are taken care of because of the drive that we call our nature. אבל הבורא יתברך נתן יכולת בתכונת הנברא שיהיה בידו להרגיל עצמו בדבר עם היותו נגד כוח תולדתו. And this goes back to the first sentence I said we'd get back to, but the Creator, blessed be He, gave the capacity within His creatures, within the human being, that we can accustom ourselves to something that is against our natural strengths. He'll explain. עד שיעשה לעצמו טבע חדשה, till it becomes a second nature, a new nature. So, what he's saying is, habit is not something that you're born with. It's not something that's within a person, but rather it's something that has the capacity to control the natural tendencies of a human being. וזה יכלול, and this can encompass הזריזות, doing things with alacrity, וחריצות, doing things well, באיברים החיצוניים והמחשביים, when it comes to the external limbs, when it comes to the thought processes, אל כל אשר יחפוץ יתאים. A person can bend them, so to speak, in whatever direction he chooses. וילמדם עם התמדתו על הדבר כמה פעמים. And we could train ourselves, be it in our actions, be it in our thoughts. After we do something a few times, we can make it into a habit. עד אשר ישוב אצלו כטבע, then it becomes like a person's second nature. כמו הרחקה מאכילת דברים טמאים. For example, when it comes to not eating things that are impure. או הקולע לסערה ולא יחטיא המטרה. Or else, if you want, to aim and shoot and hit and hit a hair. To draw a gun and shoot and just hit the hair, right? Okay. So if you work hard enough, certain things can become second nature. Take a guy who learns to play guitar. He doesn't have to think twice. He opens his eyes in the middle of the night, plays the guitar. When people ask me about the one who taught me how to do bris milah, I often say that my test for his teaching was when I had a son who had medical issues, and then suddenly one day it turned out we had to do his bris milah. So it was a wintry day. There were 4 hours left of sundown, and a bris milah has to be by day. I was out in Harnov dressed in my weekday clothes with my wife. My kids were all in school, and we had 4 hours to prepare the whole affair and for me to get my equipment and to get the kids out of Gan and to set up a hall and the food and invite the people and do the bris milah, you know. So when the time for the bris milah came, I wasn't exactly as focused as you usually are when you do bris milah. Aside from that, until that day, we didn't know if the kid was in danger of living or dying, and that day suddenly turned out that for the last month and a half, everything had been okay. So I was just in a different place. I wasn't here. And when it came time to do the bris, so they asked me, are you ready? And I said, I think so. And then I figured, you know, well, I think so. You know, I couldn't even focus. And the whole bris I did on autopilot. And after the bris, I looked back and like, did I do what I was supposed to do? I couldn't think, like, I was just doing it. And at the end, you know, I'm looking, yeah, I did it right, okay. So I always say when people ask me about the one who taught me how to do bris, I said, that was my test. When I could do bris on autopilot, and then I saw I could do it if you wake me in the middle of the night, I didn't even, then I couldn't think. And I could do it, so I said, okay, yeah, That's the test. So he says, you know, things can become second nature so that you don't even have to think about it. It's just you get up there and do it. And each of you probably have things which are like that. For some people, it could be typing on a computer. You don't think where the EFG are. You know, your hands just go there. And for other people, it could be a musical instrument. For a third guy, it could be rolling tobacco. You know, everyone and their habits, but things can become second nature. Hen kol eila hu po'al hergel. These are all the things that our capacity for habit can create. Ve'im yiyeh hergel be'ezeh hanaga. And if we can create a habit when it comes to a certain behavior, yeshuv ha'davar liyot chefetz tivi, then it becomes our second nature to desire that behavior. We can become accustomed to certain behaviors, and then our nature desires them. Now you see how important this chapter is in discussing how a person betters his traits. Ve'en lecha davar shelo yishlot alav ha'ergel. Here he says a tremendous sentence. He says, there is nothing that habit cannot control. We can get into the habit of anything. You could take something that your nature finds repulsive, your nature hates, and change it to something that your nature loves through habit. And also things that are distant from a person's heart from doing. If a person happens to do them two or three times, afterwards it becomes easier. As our sages taught, when a person transgresses and does it a second time, so as a person repeats a sin, it becomes like it's permissible to him. A person can become accustomed to anything. You guys know the book, How to Eat Fried Worms? Okay, it's an American book. Yeah, I think it was Beverly Cleary. So she wrote a book about how they challenge a friend to eat fried worms. And they keep promising him we'll get this and that and other thing. And at the end of the book, he finally eats a worm. And after the second time he's challenged and he eats a worm, by the third time he says, this isn't bad. And after that, no one can exchange snacks with him anymore. And you know why. So that's an extreme example of how, you know, a person can get accustomed to things that are repulsive, that are naturally repulsive to a person. But we have to know that whatever could be used for the bad could also be used for the good. A person can get into good habits, and the good habits also become like second nature to a person. I lived with a person who had Alzheimer's, and he was a rabbi in Mir, Rabbi Rosen, and it reached a point where he'd get up in the morning and he'd look around the room and he'd look at his wife and ask her, who are you? And then he'd ask, how do you turn on the light? And he'd walk next to the mirror and he'd ask, who's that? He didn't know anything. But to wash his hands in the morning, he knew to wash. And to daven, he'd know to daven. And when mincha time came, he'd go and put on his frock and go daven mincha. Those things were more in his blood than who his wife was and how you turn on a light and what a mirror is. I don't know how to explain that. But habit can become part of our nature. And we have to use it for the positive. We have to know that habit is the most powerful strength to control all traits. And when it comes to any action that is difficult for a person, habit makes it easier. Be it having awe, fear of heaven, or love of heaven and all other traits. And this doesn't only apply to heaven. It applies to your spouse. It applies to your child. Love can also be a habit. And hate could be a habit. ובכל מין ממיני הכוחות, when it comes to every strength, ובכל חלק מחלקיו, and in every component of the human psyche, habit can become part of our nature. וכן ממשלתו בדבר אשר הוא יעלת חן, נחמד למראה או טוב למאכל, גם אם בתחילת השגתו אותו היה חן הדבר גדול מאוד בעיניו. The same thing applies to something that to you seems amazing, wonderful, excellent, delicious.
If initially you will like it a lot, acheni nitragel bo, but if you get accustomed to it, halo berov hayamim yazmenu ve'yetzlo kechol hadvarim hapshutim. As time passes, the excitement wears off. And then it becomes like everything else. Before you got your Cadillac, it was, oh, every time you got a ride with the Cadillac, you marveled at how smooth the ride was. How the leather seats, oh, sitting in a Cadillac. But then when you owned one, after a day, a week, a month, at some point, you slide into your Cadillac just like you used to slide into your Oldsmobile, right? You don't notice. And the truth is, the same thing can happen in marriage. We had a guy who wanted to marry a girl so badly, and she wasn't sure if she wanted to marry him. And I remember he spent over a month fasting and crying. The guy, Shimon Esther, would take him over an hour, and he'd be standing there, and he could fill a bucket with tears dropping from his eyes. The guy was davening over this girl like I never saw a guy daven before. I was zocher to be the shadchan. That's how I knew. And they got married. And I don't think he would pour a bucket of tears today over her.
is he happily married? Or?
I don't think he's so happily married. But at the end of the day, part of it is that you get used to everything. You know, I'm not saying that she's the best wife. You know, I don't think he's so happily married because, you know, there were certain things she insisted on which make their life very difficult. You know, in every marriage there's a give and take, but sometimes there are certain things which maybe you shouldn't give on. Such as if a girl insists on living next door to her parents. That's a little bit too far. You know, there are certain things that they... At some point, you know, you can't say rules. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes, like if the guy's going off to the army for 3 years, so what does he want his wife to do? Live all alone every night, you know. There are circumstances and there are circumstances. But sometimes you lose your children's chinuch. You lose so many things that it's a big give. That was their example. That's why in that case, it's a little bit difficult, you know. There's a give and take. In every marriage, there's a give and take. But at the end of the day, that's a tough give. It's a very tough give.
Shouldn't you work like some of these things out in advance, maybe, in the dating stage?
You'll discover that after you finish working them out, after marriage, there's a new discussion. So, at any rate, what? Yeah, but you know, if a guy sees that his wife is miserable every night, and every night she says, you know, if I were only next to my siblings and my mother and all that, I'd be happier. So at some point, the guy might cave in. It's not easy to see your wife upset, and she always tells you the cure all is if we go there.
But there are some things, like a common example that's usually brought, like people who, I think the big one was like Russell Vigie, he didn't realize his wife didn't want to wear a head covering. And then he got married, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm not going to wear a head covering. And there's some people that have warned you about, maybe you should ask beforehand if your wife's going to do that.
Okay. Well, the question is, what kind of marriage do you have when you make such a demand?
But this is true, but a wife should be prepared for.
That's all theoretical. We all expect normal lives, and we all have different perspectives on what normalcy is. It's a little bit tough. We can't judge other people's marriages. I'm just saying that, in my opinion, part of the issue is also, in every marriage, that people take their spouse for granted. Meaning, I'm coming from the other angle. I'm saying, if every husband would stop and realize that no one guaranteed him he'd have his wife tomorrow, and try to have the appreciation he had for her when he was pouring buckets of tears, then I think life would be different. I wasn't going to say, you know, she's wrong in this compromise. I was going to say that even with big compromises in life, I'm willing to bet if someone would have asked him back then when he was dying to marry her, you know, you're going to have to do this compromise and live right next door to your in-laws. Do you still want to marry her? I'm willing to bet he would have said yes. Because back then he had an appreciation for who she was. Now that they're married and they're together already for 15, 20 years, so at some point, you know, it's a given that you're married. And then all the other things carry their weight, but the fact that you're married doesn't carry its weight. You know, the spouse you have
is taken for granted. I personally think that that's part of the message of the story of Bereshit, Adam and Eve, where Adam's great fault, if we'll use a term from literature, right, his fatal flaw is his lack of appreciation for Eve. After we have a wife, I think every man reaches this point where the most wonderful gift that God gives us is taken for granted. And once it's taken for granted, so then only the flaws are what we feel. You know.
But maybe it's not a matter of him not of him forgetting how much he appreciates his wife. Maybe he just discovered how much he didn't appreciate his in-laws.
So back to the Sefer Amidot. So the Magid Midubna says, even if initially something was with great favor in our eyes, and then we get accustomed to it, so habit could make us also lose our appreciation for things. Just as we find when a person attains something that he desired, sometimes a person likes it so much, he'll even bring it to the table. He takes it when he drinks. Even when he's eating, he wants to see it, he wants it with him. But as the days pass, he'll only use it when he has guests. He wants to show them this great thing that he got. He takes it out. Not because he still has that great appreciation for it. And then it becomes like a perfume, that the smell has passed and it no longer has flavor. Because the power of habit, of being accustomed to something, is so powerful, it can touch, it can rule over everything. Nothing is beyond its grasp. So these two strengths that we mentioned, hateva ba'ergel, one's nature and one's habit, gam mishnehem yotzim kama ma'asim patiim. From them too, we find individual actions, ki gam ergel mevit adam in ma'asim yiduim, because habit also brings a person to certain known actions, ki achal she'ergil atzmo lasot ezeh davar. Once a person becomes accustomed to doing something, yashuv elav keteva, then it becomes his second nature, ha'machiach oto lekach. It's as though it forces him to do that. But the power that overpowers both of these strengths, hu hada'at, that is the power of da'at, which is the focus of this section, asher elav kavanatenu bashar hanechbad hazeh leve'er inyano uskulato, that is our focus, to clarify the concept of da'at, to clarify its strength, and that's where we will begin Bezrat Hashem next time in the fourth chapter, the strength of da'at. So what we saw tonight was the strength of habit, the strength of being accustomed to something, and we said that that can control every aspect of the human being, and that has the capacity to get us accustomed, get us into habits to doing good, to doing bad, and even things that are repulsive to one's nature can become, through habit, can become something that one likes and can become second nature to a person.